All right, welcome to the latest edition of Scribe Session. I am your Bengals beat writer, Paul Dater Jr., and our special series, Catching Up with Former Bengals Players, continues. This week, I'm going to bring in Ashley Ambrose. Ashley, in case you forgot, 1996 to 1998, cornerback for Cincinnati Bengals. Went to the Pro Bowl in 96 with 8 picks, played 13 NFL seasons, was first team All-Pro, 42 career picks. Now the secondary coach at the University of Idaho. Ashley, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm awesome, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's got to be, do you like hearing people just rattle off those stats? It's got to feel all right.
Yeah, it does feel good. You know, it just brings back memories of the days of playing. You know, that's pretty much what it does.
You know, it's crazy. I guess I'll start with this. How did you end up in Idaho?
Well, it's pretty much a long story, but I guess to make it shorter, it's just like I've been coaching football over the last 6-7 years, and it's a couple of ways it happened. My wife actually grew up with the running backs coach wife at Idaho, and when that job came open, I called him and told him I would be interested in it, and also I had some other coaches call that I worked for. I called Coach Petrino, but I had just met It was weird because I had just met Bobby Petrino like a couple of years prior to that when I was at Cal. So, and he called himself for me. So it was kind of one of those win-win situations, and I was in the right place at the right time and talking to the right people.
Yeah, I mean, now, was coaching always sort of what you wanted to do, or how long did it take you to figure out that maybe coaching was in your future?
You know, it really just took me a year after playing. My first year when I retired, I decided to retire in 2005. You know, I sat around and you know, I enjoyed playing golf and did all that stuff. But when football season came, I really missed it. And then I didn't know how much I didn't know how much I would miss it, you know. And so even when I was playing, I thought, no, I ain't going to never coach those guys, coach. They in there forever and this and that. And then all of a sudden, I just missed it, and I wanted to get into it. So in 2006, I started searching on, you know, asking guys and telling them I wanted to coach. And actually, Jim Moore Jr. was in Atlanta with the Falcons, so I interned for a full season with the Falcons, which was great, you know, because I was around football. So that's how I kind of got into it. So it only took me about a year to get out of football, which I'm glad I didn't wait too long, because, you know, if you wait too long, you know, people forget about you.
Yeah. And post, I've always been really interested in post-football life. And because when you go, especially a career like yours, you know, 13 NFL seasons, guys can really become, I guess, defined by football. And they're a football player, and that adrenaline rush and that camaraderie that you have is unlike anything else that you'll ever really experience. How hard is it to try and, like, I guess you would say, re-identify yourself and figure out where you go from there? I mean, is that a challenging thing to do?
It is very challenging, especially when you've been doing something your whole life, you know, a majority of your life. And you know, I was playing football since actually my junior year in high school. And, you know, just to play football for like 20 years and, you know, it's really all I knew, and I could see how some people get sucked up into it and don't ever want to quit and keep trying. But it is difficult. But I would say is that I understood my body, and I knew it was time for me, and if I wanted to be around it, I could still be around it by coaching or being involved or doing something. And even though it's still times when I'm out coaching or I'm out with the guys, I still want to get out on the field. You know, I feel like I'm still part of it, but it's amazing. I mean, I've been in situations where I've gotten so excited before a game, I'll tear up because, you know, it's like I'm going to play. You know, it's just the emotions to the game. But, you know, it is a difficult thing, though. It is very hard. you know, you want to go out there, because there's a few times I wanted to come out of retirement and
yeah.
just say, let me see if I could do it. But, you know, I was just smart about it and say, hey, you know what, you're done. You're done. You had a good career. You played a long time. Just be thankful. You're not seriously injured. You know, you're not
yeah.
worried about how to worry about all this concussion stuff. So, you know, just be thankful. So, but, you know, I'm glad I got out of it, you know, fairly healthy.
Yeah, that's the other thing now. And I really wonder, especially with athletes that got out of it at your age, where you got out before concussions became such a big deal, before so much information and time and research have gone into figuring this out. What you think when all that starts to come out, because it's not like concussions were something that were really discussed when you were in the league.
No, they weren't. I mean, honestly, we were to the point where, and, you know, I don't think I've ever had one, because I know they say you forget things or whatever, and I don't ever been in that position, but I wouldn't know anyway because I would have been concussed. But
yeah,
but I've never ever been treated for it. And like I said, you didn't hear about it as much, but you know, it was guys, you know, that had them, didn't know what was going on, but I think you see it more now. And, I mean, I've seen stars, you know, I've seen that, and
yeah,
I've been in that situation, but I never got to the point where my brain was just rattled, where I don't know where I was, but it is a crazy thing, and it's a scary thing. You know, you've seen a lot of guys, especially harming themselves and committing suicide, and, you know, you just wonder, you know, maybe the brain's just damaged from too much pain, and I don't know, you know, I just feel sorry for those families, and I just pray to God that, you know, I don't never ever get like that, which I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, right.
But, you know, it's sad. It's sad to see, though. You know, it's so sad to see.
It is sad to see, and it has to be a revelation for guys. I mean, do you talk to a lot of former players, and how does do people, whether or not they wanted to get in on the lawsuits and all that, so does that ever come up, or when you talk to other former NFL players?
Yeah, you know, some guys do say they're going to get into it because they've been, you know, had the concussions, and, you know, I just tell them, I say, hey, do whatever you got to do, you know, make sure you get your brain treated to do, you know, if you're having those side effects or whatever you think it is, if you can catch it early, go ahead and start catching it. So I recommend guys, hey, if you did it, and if it's on the papers that you had to do it, just do it, you know, because you want to. You know, I hate to see all these guys doing this to themselves, you know, and, you know, and hurting their families, you know,
yeah.
Doing whatever you're doing. So, but yeah, it's quite a few players. I mean, there's a lot of players I play with, and you know, it's a serious thing. So,
yeah,
I'm behind those guys, and I hope, you know, we can get something solved.
Yeah, and it's brought up another thing, and this was a huge point of contention with the last CBA negotiations, was the pension fund and taking care of former players, really, not just on the concussion element, but
yeah.
really it all together. How has the exit been for you as far as, you know, feeling like the NFL is caring and taking care of retired players for you and people that you know?
Well, like for me, because, you know what, I'm I really don't ask too many of the guys, you know, about, you know, the situation. But, like, for me, it's been great. I mean, I haven't had to use any of my money. You know, I was, you know, fortunately, I was, you know, very smart with my money and still living well. And hopefully I don't have to ever use it, you know, for a while. But, you know, I think if the guys just, you know, a few guys I've talked to, some guys say, you know, it's good, you know, that they're happy about it and they're getting, you know, money that they deserve, and some guys don't like it, you know. But to me, sometimes I wonder, the only thing I wonder is that, you know, it depends on the person and their spending habits and, you know, a lot of different things, you know, because, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
In that league, everybody's different. You know, some guys come in there and they spend a lot of money. Some guys don't. Some guys are very frugal. So I don't know. You know, for far as me is concerned, I'm fine with everything they give me if I needed it, and I don't have a problem with it. So I can't complain, you know.
I know they would love for there to be you know, more and more stories that sound like yours. I know that's part of the NFL's goal.
Yeah, it's just a difficult thing, and it's hard and it's sad to see when you see so many guys, not just football, you know, other sports as well, you know, make so much money. And, you know, if you really think about it, you hear guys make $30, $40 million and it's not there anymore. There's a problem, you know, and if you had a third of that, you'd be fine. You wouldn't even be worried about a pension, you know. So, you know, the thing about it is, you know, some of the guys need it. Some of the guys, you know, I think about those days when, you know, you see players that go, and this is what I do with guys now in college, you know, something we can get into later. I teach them about spending money and teach them about how easy it is to, you know, to lose it all, you know, because it's not hard at all, you know. Yeah. You know, you get in there and, you know, guys think $1 million is $1 million and they want to get a $700,000 house and get the finest cars and forget about all the insurances and the taxes, and, you know, they don't think about that.
Yeah. I imagine that's really part of where, and I know reading up on you, your hire at Idaho, one of the things that was said a lot was you've been really good at developing relationships with your players. I mean, how much has your time in the NFL, is that been invaluable to you in not only in credibility, but in the lessons that you're able to show from what you've seen from other guys who didn't do it the right way or whatever to tell these kids that?
Yeah, well, and that's really kind of my story with the guys, you know. You know, I just kind of tell them, I say, hey, you know, I was a guy that played at the highest level and, you know, got a lot of the achievements when I was playing. And believe it or not, I didn't make as much as some of them, you know, a lot of people, you know, I didn't. I made a lot of money, but I didn't make, you know, as far as a Deion Sanders and, you know, as much as a, you know, certain people, you know, but the thing about it is what I get them to understand is to try to get them to understand is like, you know, when you're getting young men that age, because I was at that age where I was thinking too, you know, if I get drafted, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get that. I'm to the point where I want to teach these guys responsibility, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I go in a kid's home and speak to his parents, I want them to know, hey, you know what, he's here to get an education. And see, that's the other part of it is because I go sit down and to them, I tell them, yeah, I played in the NFL. I could try to help them get there. See, it's not promised, but the thing about it is you want to be in a situation where, yeah, maybe he'll go for 1 year and play in the league. Maybe he'll go 12 years, 13 years, 14, whatever. But when he's done, can he fall back on something? So I go in there with the aspect of, hey, I want him to have a degree because that's why I'm where I'm at right now. If I didn't have a degree, I wouldn't even be a coach. I wouldn't even be able to reach out to these guys like that. I have to just do it at camps or something.
Right.
And I think by me being an example and showing these guys and telling these guys, hey, I don't have to work if I don't want to, but I love doing it because, you know, I want to give back. You know, this is my way of giving back, and I believe this is the way God wanted me to give back. So I could talk to kids and teach them and help them. And I got 6 kids right now in the NFL. And I try, and the thing about it is they call me and they talk about, you know, different things and extra tips on different things, you know, about the money. And I always ask them, hey, you're not doing nothing crazy with it, right? You got enough faith, you know. You know, because that's what it's all about. You want to be able to play the game, enjoy it, and enjoy the money. But, you know, that money got to go for a long time. It got to last you a while.
Right.
You might
be
75, 80 years old. You want it to last.
Yeah, and you got to try it. And the average NFL shelf life is about 3 to 3.5 years.
Exactly. So, exactly.
It's not the easiest thing to do. Well, since I got you here, I do want to talk about the 3 years that you did spend in Cincinnati. And I thought you would be particularly interesting to talk to because in that era of, you know, the lost decade, as it's called around here, there was always the thought of, well, the losing that has occurred here keeps free agents away, and it was mm-hmm. that was viewed as part of the problem. And you were one of the biggest free agents to sign in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And I guess in 96, in the spring of 96, how many of your buddies' jaws dropped when you said you were going to Cincinnati?
A lot of them. But see, and a lot of them was because it's like, I can't believe you're going there, man. I mean, you see the facilities, you know, we were still at Spinney Field, and, you know, and it was talking about how it smelled around it. But you know what? That wasn't a thing for me. You know, my whole thought process was, where could I go? Where could I go somewhere where I won't be a big spender, where I could, you know, I never thought Cincinnati was a very expensive place, a place that was where you could just do a whole lot and just blow a lot of money. I never thought that. I thought it was a great family town. I thought it was a great place for me to, you know, just raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my thought process. You know, hey, why go there? Why go to Oakland instead of go to Cincinnati, where I could go to Oakland and get half the money taken and taxes and living something expensive, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of guys don't think like that. A lot of guys, they think about, you know, the places, you know, like where I'm going. Like, I have kids now, like, for instance, Jimmy Smith, who was in Baltimore, when he was coming out, he was hoping he was going to Miami or San Diego. I'm like, man, you know what? You don't need to go there. You don't need to go there. Because you know what? I knew what kind of kid he was, and at the time, he wasn't ready for a place like that.
Yeah.
You know, and he needed a place where he was at, where he had Ray Lewis, he had Ed Reed, he had people who could help him and guide him. And I'm thankful that he went somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you go to other places like that, man, it's just when you're young, and if you don't have the mindset, the correct mindset of being, hey, I got to focus on football only, and family, whatever, you can lose a lot. That's what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Nothing against the Dallas Cowboys organization, but, you know, they were at my house for draft day, and I really believe if I went to Dallas, I probably would have been a different person if I'd have been a different person if I'd have went there instead of Indianapolis. It was great. Indianapolis was great for me, you know.
Yeah.
It was great for me. I was able to learn a game, and, you know, that's just how it is, though.
Yeah.
And everybody's different. But trust me, my friends were on me about it.
Well, because it was the thought of going into a place like that, which had so much trouble, and you came in. And I think if you look at that decade, 96 is one of the most interesting seasons that maybe in Bengals history, because of the dichotomy of the first half with Shula, and then after his departure, the role that the team went on to end up. I guess I want to start with, how amazed were you? I mean, when you first showed there, what struck you about Cincinnati? Because there was all this talk of, well, it was a toxic environment. What immediately struck you when you showed up in Cincinnati in 96?
Well, honestly, what really kind of got me, I know they was talking about, you know, the toxic stuff. You know, when I went there and I, you know, go and smell it and everything, that, you know, that was something that was like, whoa, you know what? Is that dangerous? Or is, you know, I was wondering that. But at the same time, you know, I was thinking, we could shock the world. You know, I was still thinking that, because I said, you know what, we got Carl Pickens, you know, we got Jeff Blake, we got some stuff right here in the making. We do have something. You know, Tony McGee was playing well. You know, we had some. See, we had Big Willie Anderson. I mean, you know, we had some stuff there. You know, and we just couldn't get to one or two more games, we'd have been in the playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what really kind of, that was another thing that helped me make my decision, because it's like, man, we got the makings of being something. If we end up being something special, we're going to be the talk of the league.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. That's really how I felt about it. But we could never get over that hump. And then, you know, once my contract expired, I actually really want, I would have stayed. I wanted to stay because I thought we had a chance. Because I wanted to be part of something special.
Yeah.
I did. I wanted to be part of what they are now, you know, be that team that, you know, could make it to the playoffs.
Right, right.
You know.
What happened in the first half? Because 96 was the best year of your career production. I mean, your first team All-Pro, that you had mm-hmm. 8 picks that season. I mean, you did it all, and it was an unbelievable run. But the 1-6 start, which ended up after that with Dave Shula being fired, what was it? Players being unmotivated? Were players just fed up at that point? Do you think why with the same talent that went 7-2? Do you think that team ended up going 1-6?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think what it was kind of almost like a, you know, maybe a big relief. You know, for me, I was the new guy, and I didn't really know Coach Shula. I mean, you know, I just had met him, and, you know, and I was impressed with him just meeting him. And but, you know, as the season went on, you know, some guys didn't like him as much, you know, and I don't know if they played for him as much. You know, you know, they probably had been around him a lot longer. And I, you know, I never had a problem with him, you know, because I've always been that guy. Hey, you know, whatever coach say you do, I'm going to do it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you like him or not. But to me, coaches have to be hard on you anyway, regardless. But, you know, some guys just didn't feel him. And I think when they made the change, you know, it just felt like new energy. You know, you can see a lot of the guys that just, things change, you know. You see the body language of guys change, and I think that's one reason why he went on runs like that. I mean, Boomer Esiason was a big part of it, of course. You know, he played well.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, he's that vet guy, and I think, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot. I think guys just changed totally once the change happened. You know, and they bought into it. Coach Kostlet wanted to do so.
Yeah, that's one of those things where just ever so, because I get surprised by that, and you know, it's any business, any work environment. If the people have problems, they feel like the boss is, and there's not a good work environment, people aren't going to shine. But were you surprised to see that in the NFL, where so many guys are playing for so much money, that there are guys that are, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, unmotivated, or that weren't feeling it? Did that kind of surprise you? Was that the first time you've seen something?
It is surprising. It's very surprising. And you know what? I had seen it before, though. You know, and I think every team have guys like that. You have some guys, and that's why I'm glad the way they're doing a lot of these contracts now, because you get some guys, they get the money and then they just tank it. And it's not that they don't love the game. It's just that they forget about what they're there for. You know, the focus is lost. And, you know, you get guys to make the money. As soon as they sign that contract, I don't want to pick on Johnny Manziel, but, you know, everybody's entitled to do what they want to do. But I've been around guys who get a big contract, and, you know, they're in Vegas this week, and then they're in Miami Beach, and they're in the Bahamas, and, you know, and they forget about what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying Johnny Manziel was like that, so I'm not picking on him, but what I'm saying is that what you can't do is you can't lose, you know, focus on what you're there for.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And if you do, and if you enjoy doing that, that's one thing that make you lose focus on what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, you're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to enjoy your time. And I hate that people did that to Johnny, because he's entitled to do what he wants to. You know,
right.
He had time off. You could do whatever you want to when you're time off.
Exactly. With regards to the Bengals team, it's one of those things where a team goes and has struggles, and your contract is up, You said earlier you wanted to come back. Something that Adrian Ross talked about with me last week was he thought there was an issue came up where it was like every year it was somebody else was going to come in and be the savior. Someone from outside was going to come in and be the savior. And the guys that had been there and had been doing it maybe didn't feel like the rewards were coming to them. Now, these days, the Bengals get knocked for not going out and doing as much in free agency because they dedicate their money to spending it within. It's sort of the opposite philosophy. Would you agree that was kind of part of the deal?
It was. Yeah. It was. I mean, because I was part of that whole plan when I went in, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a whole bunch of people in, and I don't know. I mean, they had some good players at the time. But, you know, I think that's free agency. You know, if you can get somebody that's going to help your team, make your team better, that's fine. But if you got guys producing, you know, I was producing there. I was surprised that they didn't want to, you know, pay me and keep me around and instead go younger when still I was only about, finished my seventh year.
Yeah. Right.
So
in your prime.
So, you know, yeah, I was still in my prime. So, but, you know, it's just, that's how it is. You know, it all depends on the owner, how they want to do things and what they want to do. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say, but I mean, I understand where Adrian's coming from because that's what happens. And that's what happened at the time. They would go and get somebody else and go get, oh, we like this guy because he did good. Let's pay him some money. See if he'll take it and we'll get him. But it was always just one big-time free agent. That's all it was.
Yeah, yeah. And it left a lot of people that were in the building holding the bag saying, well, what about us? We've been here doing it and feel like they don't really have – they didn't feel like they had something to play for. Like why try? Why try to produce and dominate if it's not going to end up in a reward, which I just think is so – it's so interesting talking to guys like you and Adrian and the other players from that era – talking about that theory because of where the team is at now and why it's done so well is taking the exact opposite approach and just rewarding within, and you see players playing for that. It's an interesting twist.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. I mean, you got guys who want to be there, especially if it's guys that want to be there and feel like, hey, you know what, I can get paid here. You know, there's not many guys really want to. Well, I did. I didn't really care about moving a whole lot. I moved a lot, but I didn't really care about it. But you know what? If it was the best thing for me, I'll do it. But if I could have stayed somewhere for a while, I would have been fine. If I could have stayed in Cincinnati for a while, I would have been just as happy. But you know, it's just it wasn't meant that way, and it didn't happen that way. So you know, you just move on.
I imagine after even for 3 years, the losing did that kind of wear on you? A little bit, the tough years.
No, the thing about it is, I think we went, I want to say we had a losing record when I was there, but I think we went 8-8, maybe 7-9, I think, and
3-13.
And 3-13, yeah. That 3-13 year was the year that, you know, that hurt me, but I was like, well, you know what? It's going to happen in this league because everybody's good. And it all depends on who you got on your schedule and if you can win your games. Because, you know, a lot of those games weren't just like blowouts. You know, mm-hmm. The thing about it was I was thinking about the two previous years where, hold up, we were a game away probably from the playoffs, and then we were two or three games away from the year before. So that's what I was hanging my hat on. I was like, okay, we had a down year, but we could bounce back.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really worried about that. Now, if it was a team, I was – you know, 3-13, 4-12, like that for my entire 3 years, I probably would have worn it out. But I didn't want that. You know, I wanted to hang around because I thought we would turn it around.
Yeah, yeah. And so you ended up leaving and going to a couple more stops. You ended up in your hometown in New Orleans to finish your career. How cool was that? To end up taking a full circle.
That was, you know, that's why it was a great thing. I actually left there and went to New Orleans, and I went and played for Mike Ditka. And I was only there for a year because, you know, I took less money, just went there and had a contract and was able to opt out of my contract after my first year there. And I was a free agent again and went to Atlanta and got a chance to go to the playoffs in Atlanta. So, you know, that was fun. And then I went back home and retired at home. So, you know, it was good because it was still a good thing. I mean, if I was going to leave somewhere, if I was going to leave Cincinnati, a place I would go, why not go home? Because you never know. I always thought you never know how long your career is going to last. So if I get a chance to go back home to play, that's why I took less money. I might as well go ahead and let my family see me at home play, family and friends. So that was just probably the icing on the cake for me as a player in the National Football League.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna run down the name of a few people or places, and you give me your thoughts on them and what person it comes to your mind when I say it. Synergy Field.
Synergy Field. Oh my gosh! You know, that was that was home, man.
Yeah. Like it or hate it, right? That was home.
I mean, you know what? Yeah. I mean, I was on turf my whole career. So, I mean, I tell you what, I enjoyed my time there and made a lot of big plays there, and I enjoyed it. And you know, I haven't heard it in a while. So it's just kind of, what's the name of it now? I don't even know the name of this.
Well, it was they're in Paul Brown Stadium now. They knocked it down and they built Paul Brown Stadium where they play now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Synergy was renowned for its turf. Its turf was known, that and Veterans Stadium were the worst, had the worst
turf.
Was
the worst.
You probably could stand by that.
Yeah, I can. I mean, the only thing I can say is, hey, I never got hurt on it, so I was good.
Exactly. Worked out for you. All you did was
it worked out for me.
Pro for me fix on it, right?
Hey, I'm just telling you, that was fun. So, I mean, it brings a lot of memories when you just say Synergy Field.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned this one earlier, but I'd be remiss if we didn't really get into the details of it. Spinney Field.
Spinney Field. Probably the stinkiest place to ever practice. But you know what? If you all about ball, you don't care where you're playing, where you practicing at. But, you know, it was interesting. You know, everybody talked about it, but, you know, you got to, I guess, I didn't have a problem with it. That's why I signed there, and I got used to the smell.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. You should. You never want to say that you got used to that smell. It is apparently unlike anything.
I just did not have anything wrong with me internally.
Yeah. You survived it. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all that matters.
I'll say, how about Boomer Esiason?
Love that guy. You know, I wish. You know, I see him on TV all the time, and I bring Boomer's name up all the time because I think about that run we had, and man, and Boomer was just a great cat, and I really looked up to him because, you know, he just had this energy about him, and he wanted to win. You know, I always looked at him as a winner, and I was telling my wife this couple of years ago, I said, man, you know, I would love to see Boomer Esiason, and, you know, hopefully one of these days I get a chance to see him, just sit down and talk with him, just, you know, just to reminisce about, you know, playing with him and tell him how great of a job you're doing on TV.
Yeah.
Love that game.
Dick LeBeau.
Oh, that's one of my favorite coaches of all time.
Yeah.
He's another guy I talk about. Matter of fact, especially with his defenses and things like that, I tell people, especially when I was at Cal, we were running 3-4. You know, we did a lot of the stuff Dick does, and it's good. I get a chance to teach a lot of the things he taught me as a player. And by far, one of the best defensive coaches to ever, if not the best defensive coach to ever coach the game.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you learned from him?
Well, I learned a lot about, you know, how to attack offensive teams' protections and what teams do and the different ways of, you know, disguising defenses and making it look the same. I mean, the guy is just a guru at what he does, man. And, you know, when he's confident. He's a confident guy. He believes in his system, and that's why. And he gets the players to believe in it, and that's why they're always in the top 10, always, every year, and maybe in the top 5. That's why. because you know what? They believe and they buy in, and he has the best personality. And you know, if you make a mistake, he believes you'll get it corrected. You know, he's just that kind of guy. You know,
yeah.
And you know, and he makes you feel loved. So, April Boss, I promise you, one of my favorite of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ashley, I appreciate you taking some time to chat with me. I know everybody out here, anybody that follows, been following the Bengals for a long time, would be thrilled to hear from you. Good to hear you're doing well, even though you somehow landed out in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. Are you like into hunting and fishing now?
No, I'm not. I've only been in Idaho for a couple of months. I actually got a home in Denver. I'm in Denver now, seeing my family, and you know, before that I was at Cal, so I've only been in Idaho a couple of months. But you know, I adapt to anything. I mean, I went to school in Mississippi, so in the middle of nowhere, in a smaller town away. So I mean, I adapt to anything. And I don't have time for hunting and fishing when I'm working. So my time off, I try to see the family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, so now you've got, your kids are all grown up now, right?
I have a 15-year-old, 13-year-old, and I have a one-year-old coming up Friday. He'll be one Friday.
Oh, wow. So you've got a full house of fun.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes,
now,
I do.
Do you have sons? Do you have a son?
Keeps me young, though. Keeps me young. Huh?
Yes. Do you have a son, or do you have all daughters?
No, my daughter is the oldest, and my two boys are the next two.
Now, is your boy, is he playing football?
No, my second boy, my first boy, my 13-year-old was playing. He doesn't play anymore. He likes soccer. He's more into soccer and tennis now. And, you know, I don't push him. I don't push him to do football. I just say, hey, you want to do it? Whatever you want to do. You know, I just do what my family did to me. And I won't push my little guy either. I mean, even though I throw the football to him already, 9, he ain't even a year. But he know what a football is. But, you know, if you want to do it, you know, because a lot of times I don't want them to have that pressure. You know, if you want to do it, fine. You know, I don't want them to feel like they have to play 13 years or match my career. You know,
right,
they want to
do
it, it's good with me.
Maybe you'll end up seeing the next Ambrose in the World Cup or something like that. You could,
you never
regardless
know.
Of what
you
they do,
know.
You'll be there, right?
I'll be there. You never know. You never.
Well, that's
know.
Great. Well, hopefully the Cincinnati Bengals fans can root for the Idaho Vandals next year and root for one of their own out there.
We will be. That will be nice. We will be playing the University of Ohio this year in Ohio. So
maybe
we can get some
Bengals
fans.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you should know, I am a Ohio University Bobcat alum. That is my alma mater. So I will root against you once this year. Only one time will I root against you.
All right. Well, I'll forgive you on that one.
Well, that's great. Well, hey, I appreciate it. I got to let you know, now here on our podcast, we're big into music. We're musical people. And I like to usually give my guests a chance to let one song take them out, and I'll play underneath this as we go out. So I don't know if you have a favorite band or a song that's just on top of your iPod right now. What do you want to go out with?
You know what I would want to go out? Welcome to the Jungle. That's
Welcome
what I love, you know, coming.
that's
what I was talking about, baby. That was it. Just bring back memories of the good old days.
That's great. Well, I'll say thanks to Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Jungle for entering the podcast. And Ashley, thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Same here, Paul.